previous onset. I'm talking about no decision about me without me, which is a very, very frequently stated tenet of the new NHS. I'm someone who is now and has been involved in patient and public and user involvement for many years, so I'm quite passionate about it. Sorry about the presentation, it's my public relations background, I'm afraid. So I'll whisk through this because otherwise it will be more than 10 minutes. Sorry. I'm just going to talk really about what the Act says about patient and public involvement, how that happens nationally, how it's happening in CCGs and primary care, a little bit about secondary care, and then on about Health Watch and how that's going to work, and then a bit more about my own involvement. As I've said, there's been a lot of comments and statements about patient and public involvement. These are just some of them, and they've been going on since 2010. What does the Act actually say about patient and public involvement? This all looks a bit formal, but, and it very much is focused on no decision about me without me in relation to your own personal healthcare. And I think for someone like me who's involved in user involvement in healthcare, that actually it's much more wider than that. It's not just about being involved in decisions about your own healthcare. It talks about the board must publish guidance for clinical commissioning groups on this discharge of their duty in relation to patient and public involvement, and that they must exercise and promote involvement of patients, etc. And the Act also abolished links and established in place Health Watch England and Global Health Watch. Now, our chair introduced me as chair of Richmond Link. Some of you may know what a link is, some of you won't. I was chair of Richmond upon Thames Link. They actually, some of them got a pretty bad press. I think ours was pretty good, and I think we actually achieved an awful lot, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. This is, again, a little bit about what I was saying, that the no decision about me without me is very much seems to be focused on just about your doing your own care planning and your own care, but it's much more involved than that. And what is involvement? Involvement's not, as I said, not in your own healthcare, but commissioning and monitoring the provision of healthcare. Because one of the, I think, tenets of user-patient involvement is actually making sure that what is commissioned and is provided is actually of good quality. So if actually it's not working well, you need to let someone know. But actually you need to let someone know if it is working well. And actually, I think engagement's a better word because actually implies a two-way conversation. Involvement can just be a very much one-way thing, but actually engagement is two-way. And it's about patient voice and hearing the patient voice and getting patient experience outcomes. So what is there available nationally within the new NHS for patient and public involvement? There's a new NHS constitution, which I'm sure you've all read, published last month. That's got some sort of strengthened involvement for patients and public. I would suggest you read it. It's quite an interesting document. NHS England have got a whizzy-sounding Patients and Information Directorate, and there's a National Director for Patients and Information. And below that, a whole raft of people and posts who are going to provide patient and public voice and information. I've no idea what that's going to be. We're looking forward to seeing it. I think they're going to have patient ambassadors and patient advocates, but I've really no idea how that's going to link with what's happening in other areas. NHS England, Nick has mentioned the fact that NHS England is responsible for specialised commissioning. There are opportunities for patient and public involvement within specialised commissioning through a range of clinical reference groups. So there is patient and public involvement at a national level. There is also, and I've been quite closely involved, patient and public voice in CCGs and primary care. And you'll hear a bit later from Peter about actually how CCGs are working. But in terms of my interest, you may or may not know that each CCG has a labelled member for patient involvement and engagement, and it's their responsibility to make sure that each CCG undertakes its responsibilities for patient and public involvement. The lay member for patient involvement in Richmond is really nice guy who's actually a television producer and scriptwriter and director. So for him it's been a real challenge because he had no experience other than his personal healthcare experience of the NHS. So for him, and I think possibly for a lot of other lay members on CCG boards, it's a real learning experience to understand the NHS and its terms and its acronyms and everything. So he was actually floundering for about 6 weeks, or sorry, 6 months. They had a specific domain requirement for their authorisation. For each authorisation, which you may hear later on, there were 6 domains, I think, that they had to satisfy in order to get authorisation. I'll just show you what that is in a moment. They had to meet in public. Our CCG will be meeting in public every 2 months. I'm never quite sure that meetings in public sounds like there's actually lots of public involvement in their boards. Board meetings, actually, there's not. It's really difficult for the public to have any real meaningful involvement in a board meeting of a CCG. They have to have an engagement involvement strategy, which I was very closely involved in, and they have to involve patients, users, carers in commissioning, in patient experience and monitoring of both primary care. And they, within the CCG, each practice is meant to have a practice patient group. Now, some of those some practices have had those for some time running, but often it's more about the colour of the carpet and can I get an appointment rather than actually looking, having any meaningful monitoring about the health care provided by their GPs. There are lots of new ones being set up because they got some money to do that, surprisingly enough, so therefore they did it. And I'm a member of our practice group, which is quite new, and I'm trying to make it a rather more strategic patient group than I think a lot of them are. But they will have potentially an important place in providing experience of their patients and feeding those back to the clinical, their local commissioning group. This is the requirements for the CCG authorisation domain 2, which is that they have meaningful engagement with patients, carers, and their communities. So this is all they had to prove, that they were doing all of this in order to get authorised, or that they had good plans to do so. Most of them just had good plans to do so rather than actually being able to say that they did it. There's lots of whizzy diagrams about the engagement cycle. This is just one of them. This is the engagement cycle as linked into the commissioning cycle. There's lots of them. It's about talking about patient engagement, talking about monitoring. So if you need a whizzy diagram to know how to do it, there's lots of them around. Very quickly, there's obviously also patient involvement and user experience in secondary care, patient assemblies and governors, mostly linked to FTs, patient experience committees, which is a really good opportunity for hospitals to find out how the patients are experiencing their own services, and actually there's a lot of good stuff goes on in those. There used to be PEAT inspections, which stood for patient experience. I've forgotten. And they're now place inspections, which are just about to start. And patient experience trackers. I'm sure all of you have been in hospital, who have been in hospital, have been given some opportunity to rate their service, as they say. Links then moved to HealthWatch. I'm not sure if any of you, as I said, know about Links. Links had a lot of statutory powers to monitor, to pass on, to collect information from their local community, to pass those on to the local authority or the PCT as it was then, or the CCG, and to the Care Quality Commission to raise issues about services. They have a legal requirement to do interim views, so they can actually go in and do formal reviews of services. And so HealthWatch essentially is Links with a few add-ons, not very many add-ons, is essentially the same as a Link, but much has been made as to they're going to have much more power and much more effect than Links, and I hope they will, because the new impetus has enabled them to, I hope, be stronger. There'll be a HealthWatch England, which is an overview body, which actually sits within the Care Quality Commission. We were a bit surprised about that to begin with. as you know, to extent we are monitoring the Care Quality Commission, but it's something there as a separate body, and so all health watchers will be feeding back to Health Watch England, which in turn will feed back to the CQC. My involvement, I've talked about Richmond Link, that's allowed me to be an active member of our CCG shadow governing body. So it was really interesting to be involved with the CCG when it first started, and I have to say all those GPs really looked like frightened rabbits for quite a long time, probably until about 3 months ago. It was concerning, but I had every confidence in our CCG that they would get there, and they're looking a little bit more confident now. And of course, we have to remember that also Health Watch looks after social care as well. And as there's more and more joint commissioning, much more and more integrated care, actually user involvement in social care is going to be just as important, and linking it in with healthcare through all of that, the integrated commissioning that's going to take place. We've already established a lot of user representation within our CCG commissioning strands. Most CCGs have leads, which I'll probably hear out for particular areas of work. And so each of those leads, we have establishing a user representation group for each of those leads. So they're bringing in user and care representatives to commission specific pieces of work. We've done a lot of work on mental health in Richmond, both adult and the elderly, community ophthalmology, AQP, for those that don't know that, that's any qualified provider, which is linked into the sort of competition issue. It's when they actually have to go outside of not necessarily NHS providers for care, but they have to be NHS approved. For example, we've just commissioned physiotherapy services, so not all those providers will be NHS providers, but they're NHS provided, approved providers. And we're doing some work on cancer. And there's a lot of user representation on a lot of the reorganisation of services. For example, I've done a lot of work in the South West London Better Services for Better Value reorganisation. I'm not going through to Health Watch for a number of personal family reasons, but I have every confidence that certainly within Richmond that good work that we've done in Richmond will continue. I also do a lot of work around cancer services, both locally and pan-London. There's a reorganisation of cancer services across London, and I'm doing a lot of work around that. So, very quickly, I realise I haven't got much time. So is patient care and public involvement working? I think there is a lot of progress, but I think a lot depends locally on how strong the local Health Watch is, or the local voluntary services sector is, to ensure and knock on the door of their CCG to really make sure that they do get deeply involved in user and lay involvement. And the Francis report is going to have an enormous impact, I think, in ensuring that the voices of patients and families are listened to. Think of the friends and family test. And certainly, just in a short time from the Francis report that I've experienced, it's certainly, I think, woken up certainly secondary care to the need to listen to patients, both in terms of their experience, both good and bad, and our CCG, even though I think they were doing a good job, it's certainly woken them up to making sure that they do timely involvement, because actually what's important about involvement is that it starts early rather than halfway through the process or when they kind of know what they're going to do, oh, we better ask a few patients, but actually it's all about timeliness. So I think it is working, it certainly is locally, but I think there's a lot of work to do, and I would encourage you all to encourage whoever your audience is to tell them to go out there and get involved, because it's really important. Thank you.